Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that it is a powerful word. We know that your word is alive. And we pray this morning that as we open it and, Lord, just look at this passage, Lord, that you would, Lord, speak fresh to each of our hearts. You know each need this morning. And so, Lord, we pray that you would indeed, Lord, speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we all know people who light up the room when they actually enter it. Men and women who possess qualities that just make them both compelling and attractive. They lift our spirits when they come into a room. Their presence lifts the conversation and it adds life to the very discussion that we're having. And for reasons sometimes that we can't always understand or even articulate, we enjoy being near them. They have a very positive impact on us. Now, as Christians, we should strive to have a similar effect on those around us. Now, this is not to say that we must pretend to be something that most of us are not and become the life of every conversation. Our mission as believers isn't about personality, it isn't about charisma, or it isn't about a sense of humour. It's about the impact we make on others through our behaviour and through our speech. And this is what Jesus is getting at when he told his disciples, I am the light of the world. And as believers, we should also live so that people see the light of Jesus reflected in our lifestyle. And this is what also Paul had in mind when he told the Philippians. He says, shine as lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Our lifestyle, it ought to radiate the light of Jesus. So this morning, I want to look at the words of Jesus when he declared, I am the light of the world. So what did he mean when he said this? Now, Jesus is declaring something about himself when he actually uses this phrase. In fact, there are seven occasions in the Gospel of John when the apostle quotes Jesus as saying, I am. All very famous kind of phrases and sayings. And all seven of these statements tell us something about Jesus. Jesus says in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, whoever believes in me, although he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What a wonderful statement. It is. Jesus saying that he is the person who gives life and resurrection, and whoever believes in him will also be raised even though he dies. He is the resurrection. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is clearly telling us that he alone is the source of light in this world. And these words imply that the world that we live in needs light. Without the light of Jesus, this world is, in fact, in darkness. So, what is the light that Jesus is referring to in this passage? Well, there are three types of light that Jesus is referring to. The natural light that we find in God's creation is the first one. The moral light that guides our behavior from day to day. And then the spiritual light that gives us understanding about God. And Jesus is responsible for all light that we have in the world. Without Jesus, the light of the world, we in fact live in utter and total darkness. Now, when God created the world, the earth was formless, empty, and it was void. It was dark. And the earth had absolutely no structure. It had absolutely no shape. It was in total darkness. And the first act of creation, God said, let there be light. And by merely speaking these words, God brought light into the world. And that is amazing. God just spoke the words and light came into the world. You see, light is necessary to give everything, to make everything else visible. Without light, we cannot see a thing. go into a dark room, a completely dark room, a room where there is absolutely no ray of light, and what you see? Absolutely nothing. You will see absolutely nothing. Why? Because light makes things visible to the human eye. Light is essential if we are to see not only God's creation, but everything else in the world. Now, in the creation account that we read in Genesis, God separates light from the darkness. And God sets boundaries that separate different parts of the 24-hour day. Without boundaries, the world would be in absolute chaos. There would be no order, but God separates light from darkness. And later, God would separate land from water and so on. God created order and structure to the world that we actually live in. And this is an important principle. Light exposes the darkness. And light a candle, again, in a completely dark room, and you will be able to see. Light makes things visible. And when God separated light from darkness, he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And God was creating time when he separated light from darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And we measure time, all of us, we measure time in days, because we have a cycle of day and night. Now, the fourth day of creation, God created two great lights to give light to the earth. The sun to light the day, and the lesser light, the moon and the stars, to give light at night. Otherwise, the night would be utter darkness, thick pitch darkness. And the sun and the moon measure days and months and seasons. God created time and seasons by giving us day and night and the sun and the moon. It is. And God created order in the universe that is predictable. Day and night have existed since God created them. The sun continues to shine day after day, and the moon and the stars shine at night without any interruption. Now, last Wednesday, you probably realised that it was the longest day of the year. Now, as a child, I had a problem with this understanding, the longest day of the year, because I couldn't understand how, you know, a 24-hour day could be any longer than it was. But you see, the whole idea is what we say the 24, when we say it's the longest day of the year, what we're talking about really is it's the light, it's the daylight we're talking about. It is. And you know that this morning, that the sun rose at 4:58 this morning. Probably very few of you realise that, but it did. It did. That was in Dublin, right? And the sun will actually rise at a similar time for the next few days. And then after that, you're going to find that the sun will actually rise a little later each morning, which means that daylight will become less. It will. But you see, now I didn't get up to check that the sun actually rose at 4:58 this morning. We know this simply because there is order in the world in which we live in. God created the universe, and he created day and night. He created light. He separated the light from the darkness. It is. And there is consistency in God's creation. The sun doesn't fail to come up each morning. I know I wasn't up this morning to see the sun rise, and probably you weren't either, to see the sun rise. And you may not be up tomorrow morning to see the sun rise, but I guarantee you that it will rise again tomorrow morning, and it will rise the day after that also. It will. Because you see, God has created light, and he has separated the light from the darkness, and he created day and night. And although, like a bit like today, the sun may not be visible because of the cloud cover, but it doesn't fail to appear day after day, week after year, year after year. And that is the way it has been since God ordained it, since God created. God created light. So when God separated light from the darkness, we had the first morning and then we had the first evening. And God declared that it was good. God's order has continued ever since without interruption. The universe that we live in is not due to some random explosion or some chaotic event. It is God spoke and he separated light from the darkness. He created the sun, he created the moon, he created the stars to give light upon the earth during the day and to give us some degree of light at night with the moon and the stars. All of this was created by God because he is the light of the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all present in the creation of the universe. Jesus can truly say that I am the light of the world because he was present when the earth was created and when light was separated from the darkness. He spoke and light came into being. Now, natural light is very essential for life. Take away light of the sun and vegetation will actually die. I was weeding the driveway during the week, just where the car is parked. And you know that underneath where the car is parked, in the driveway, there was no weeds. But all the weeds are actually growing around on the rest of the driveway, where it is exposed to the light. It is. So even the weeds need the light of the sun to grow. It is. So plant life needs sun in order to grow. Also, all human beings, we all need the light of the sun. The sun gives us vitamin D, and indirectly we obtain vitamin C through vegetables and fruit. Light is necessary to sustain life. But Jesus is not just the light of creation. He's also the moral light that governs our behavior. Now, morals are concerned with good and bad, right and wrong behavior. And people often talk about a moral code, it is, that governs their behavior. And what you're really speaking about is the moral standards that determine those behavior. And we often say about a person who has committed some terrible or horrendous crime or a horrendous act, we often say, oh, they have no moral standards. That's what we'd say. But the question then is, who sets the moral code or standards by which people live? Who? How are our individual moral standards determined? How do we set our moral standards? Now, some people determine what is right and wrong by consulting with their conscience. And this can be a good way to determine whether a particular action is right or wrong. But what if our conscience is influenced by past bad behavior? Or perhaps our conscience is influenced by the cultural environment that we actually live in. And if we continually do bad things, then you'll find that your conscience will become immune to evil. And that is true for all of us. We will then set new lower standards of behavior. And what we once considered to be wrong behavior, right, our conscience may then tell us, well, it's okay. And when we deny what is clearly known to us in creation, our foolish hearts, we're told, become darkened, and God gives us over to shameful and unnatural desires. Now, other people determine what is right and wrong by consulting with popular opinion on social media. Right, the popular culture in our society has a huge influence in determining what individuals consider to be right or wrong behavior, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And if a majority of the population considers certain behavior to be acceptable, then it will have an influence in changing the moral standards of individuals. People communicate moral standards through social media by putting up photos or writing blogs about what they do, about themselves. And basically, they tell us about their lifestyle and behavior you know, through their social media. And as a result of that, it has a great influence on society. Many people then change their opinions and behavior because of the influence of others, or because of the influence of what we see a large segment of the population doing. For many people, you see, moral standards are determined by the influence of other people. See, our conscience, public opinion, culture, you may say the philosophy of this world, they all claim to have, you might say, moral light. But these are false lights. Most people are no longer informed about moral behavior by true, or you might say, true religious teaching. And this is how I learned right from wrong as a child. But this is no longer the case for many, many people. The world, you see, cannot determine right from wrong because of our natural state that we live in. We actually live in darkness. Our natural inclination from an early age is to do wrong. It's, you might say, our default position. We need to be taught right from wrong behavior. We need the moral light of Jesus to help us determine, you know, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. But what's happening and what happens in our society, everyone does as they think fit. People decide for themselves what they believe is morally acceptable or not. Absolute standards of right and wrong behavior are no longer acceptable. Truth is relative. That's what most people think. They say it changes over time with circumstances, and it changes over time with culture. So as time moves on and as culture changes and develops, they believe that truth should also move on. But that is not the case. Truth is absolute. It's either right or wrong, you know, in the beginning, and it remains so for eternity. You see, the problem that we have is that all human beings are morally flawed. Every man and woman born on this planet is born with a sin nature. We have a natural desire for the world and sinful ways, and we want to live our life independent of God, either, you might say, passively or actively rejecting God. This is our natural state. This is our natural condition. And if we are left to our own devices without the moral light to guide our behavior, we will actually sink into greater darkness and sink into greater sin and depravity. Somebody said once that the evening news is probably one of the best proofs that the world lies in darkness and sin and depravity. Just listen to the headlines any day of the week, right? Any day of the week. It doesn't make any difference what day of the week it is. Just listen to the headlines any day of the week. And what would be the headlines? It'll speak of murder. Right. It will speak of killings. It will speak of family disputes. It will speak about drugs. It will speak about sexual assaults. It will speak about wars in various places. I guarantee you. Turn on the news this evening, and that will be most of your headlines. It is. You see, sin and rebellion pervades our planet, and it expresses then itself in the twisted and the base behavior of all mankind. And this is the verdict. John tells us, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because our deeds are evil. We need moral light to guide us in our behavior. God has provided his commandments, which are for all of the human race. The commandments are not the means of salvation, but they do show us how we ought to live our life. God has given us moral light to help us determine right behavior from wrong behavior. And the commandments give us moral light so that we can know how to live our life in relation to God and how to live our life in relation to each other. Jesus is the light of the world that we need. Earlier in chapter 8, and we didn't read the earlier verses, it says the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they bring a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And they asked Jesus, and they were trying to catch him out, they were trying to trick him. He says, "Now, what do you say?" And Jesus remains silent for a long while. And then finally, Jesus' response is to the woman. He says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." The woman was left in no doubt about her, let's say, her wrong behavior. But Jesus' instructions then tells her to go and to leave the life that she's living. But one of the other things that you see in this is that Jesus is showing mercy. He is. And he shows her great love and he shows her great compassion. It is. Jesus, you see, gives moral light. So God gave us light in the beginning by separating light from darkness. And this magnificent creation that we live in demonstrates that God created the universe. And God gives us moral light through his commandments so that we know how to worship God and how to live and behave towards each other. Creation light points to the existence of God. Moral light instructs us how we should live our life here on earth. But it's only spiritual life that gives us an understanding of God. God gives us spiritual light so that we can know God in a personal way. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," these words imply that the world needs light. And this is true, because by nature we are spiritually dark. We are born into a world that is dark. Our default position is that our minds are spiritually dark. Isaiah 60 verse 2 reminds us, it says, "Darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people." We need the spiritual light that Jesus offers us. John chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that in him was life and the life was the light of men. The light shines into darkness and the darkness has not understood it. The source of light is found in the life of Jesus, but the world does not understand Jesus. We are born into spiritual darkness. Now, many of us were born into homes with some degree of moral light. Our parents were informed by probably religious views, and we were instructed in right and wrong behavior based on the commandments and based on the teaching of that religion. But the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection, right? That was all hidden from me. I didn't understand that. The moral light that I received from my parents and religious instruction is not to be confused with spiritual light. You see, we are spiritually dark by nature and we need to be enlightened. We are told that the natural man, he cannot understand the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. And before I became a believer, the significance of the gospel was hidden to me. I had understanding of the stories and the parables of Jesus, but the spiritual understanding of the gospel was hidden from me. Then one day, I received spiritual illumination into my heart. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shone into my heart. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus gives us spiritual light necessary to light up our understanding. We once were in darkness, but Jesus, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, gives us spiritual light. Jesus is the true light that has come into the world to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and to translate us into the kingdom of light. Jesus is the only source of spiritual light. The moral light of the commandments are not sufficient. The false light of our understanding and culture and philosophies of this world are totally inadequate. To obtain life, we need spiritual light, and this is only found in Jesus, the light of the world. Now, John 12:46, a few chapters on, Jesus tells us, he says, I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Now, that we have received spiritual illumination, we are told by Jesus to no longer to walk in darkness. We are to continue. We are not to continue in our former way of life, which was corrupt. The light of the gospel has given us a new understanding. We are encouraged to put off our old way of life and to put on the new self. And we are now created in Christ, who has given us new life. And now that we have received spiritual life, we are instructed to walk in the light that we have received. The spiritual light that we have received changes us, you see, from the inside. Moral light changes our outward behavior. But the light of the gospel changes us from the inside out. It changes our attitudes on the inside, which then has an impact upon the way that we live our life. Spiritual light changes our thinking, you see, and informs our conscience. It's internal. And we are encouraged to follow Jesus. Jesus tells us in verse 12, he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And Jesus lights the way of our life. The psalmist tells us, God's words are a light to my feet and a light to my path. And many people, you see, wander through life without any purpose or without even any understanding of what this life is all about. And Jesus gives us spiritual light concerning our human condition, but he also gives us light to guide us through this life. God's word lights up our understanding, and the spiritual life that we've received, it gives us life. And the life that we now have is eternal life. We are called out of darkness into the marvelous light that Jesus gives us. We are called to follow Jesus. Jesus is not just the source of light. In the same way that the sun gives us light for daytime and the moon gives us light for nighttime, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light that produces life. Again, one of the Psalms in 36 verse 9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. God is the source of both of all life and light. Jesus is the person who alone gives us light and life. And whether that is creation life or whether that is animal life or human life, all life and light comes from God, because he himself is the light. In Revelation 22 verse 5, it says, this is about the new heaven, the new earth. It says, there will be no more night. There will be no need of light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. They will reign forever and ever. God himself is the light, and he will give us light. There will be no need for any other type of light, because God himself will be among us. Jesus is the light of the world that gives us creation light, gives us moral light, and he gives us spiritual light. And without Jesus, we live and exist in a dark world. Jesus is the light of the world that gives us hope, each one of us. Hope not just for the future, but hope for the present. And now that we've been spiritually enlightened, we can come to Jesus to guide us in our decisions, to guide us in our day-to-day life, to help us in our daily walk, to help us in our daily challenges. And for many people, you know, that they live in a world without hope. But we have hope, and we have light in Jesus. We live and exist in a crooked and a twisted world, a world that lives in darkness. And the light we have received is not to be kept to ourselves. We are not to hide our light, but we are told to let it shine so that everyone would see the light. And it's the only remedy to this dark world in which we live in. Now, in the ancient world, the stars were used for navigational aids. People looked up to the sky, and by means of the heavens and the stars, they determined their path. And we are to be like the stars in the sky, becoming, you might say, navigational aids for a world that doesn't know which way to turn or doesn't know which way to go. We are, as such, we are the lights shining in the darkness. And the one who made the stars and the universe is the one who gives us light. And in order to live this way, we must hold fast to the word of life as light to our own path on a daily basis. Our own steps must be governed by God's true and authoritative word. We must also hold forth to the word of life. The good news of Jesus is contained in God's word. God, his word should be on our heart, ready to offer to our neighbours, to our friends. God's word, we know, will not return void. It always has a purpose. And we are to be as stars, just as the stars shine forth light, we are to hold the gospel that gives light and eternal life. The world needs this hope that and the light that we have received. Many people, they walk in darkness and they need the light of Jesus. And it's only now that we've received the light of Christ that we realize how needy and how dark this world really is. And so our mission, each one of us, our mission is to continue to walk in the light so that others may see it and desire to come into the light of the gospel that each of us have received. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the light that you have given us. We thank you for the understanding that you, Lord, that you have made known to us, that, Lord, that we, Lord, were once in darkness, but now, Lord, we thank you that you have brought us into the light of the gospel. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to walk in the light and not return to the darkness of the past. Help us to be a light to those round about us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.